All right.
Thank you.
Start a new tradition.
All right, we're back on the record, and at this time, we'll continue with redirect examination, if there is any, of Ann Bulkley.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, there are a few questions.
Mr. Johnson, go ahead.
Ms. Bulkley, I'm going to have to bounce around a little bit here because you've had quite a number of questions, so I'm going to attempt to reorient you to the discussion and then ask the question I have.
Okay.
We had some discussion earlier on, and we'll have a late-filed exhibit from, I believe, a J.P. Morgan report that talked about a downgrading of XEI stock. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
You used the term underweight. What does that mean?
So it's sort of the below neutral ranking, I guess, for J.P. Morgan. And maybe it's best to just sort of read from their report on that topic, on the valuation.
If it's short, that would be fine.
Yeah, it's just a couple of sentences. We're downgrading XEL to UW, which stands for underweight, from N, which is neutral, and reducing our December 14th price target from 227 from 33. We feel shares should trade at a discount due to the potential for incremental near-term equity needs and regulatory risk in jurisdictions such... Oh, I'm so sorry. We feel...
I'm sorry, I should have cautioned that we have a court reporter, and so you need to speak at a rate that she can pick that up. Thank
yes.
you.
We feel shares should trade at a discount due to the potential for incremental near-term equity needs and regulatory risk in jurisdictions such as Minnesota.
You also had some discussions regarding a settlement in South Dakota. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
Is the ROE that is included in that settlement disclosed publicly, or is it a so-called black box settlement?
It's a black box.
What was the last authorized ROE in South Dakota?
The last authorized ROE was 9.25%.
And was that the ROE the last authorized that led to the downgrading of the regulatory environment in South Dakota?
Yes, it was.
You had some discussion regarding the effect of advanced determinations of prudence. Do you recall that generally?
Yes, I do.
Do advanced determinations of prudence provide a benefit to the companies that receive them?
They do provide a benefit. The value associated with the advanced determination of prudence is basically reflected in the analysis we've done. I think, as I mentioned to the commissioner, many companies have similar types of predeterminations of need, cost recovery, return determinations, and so the value of that is reflected in the analysis that's been done.
So there's a benefit, but it's already been taken into account.
That's correct.
You had some discussion with Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco regarding whether investments look at current or future market conditions. Do you remember that generally?
Yes.
Can you explain which of the two or both investors may look at?
I do think that they look at both.
How do they do that in a summary form, please?
By looking at the models, as we've done in this analysis, and also looking at expectations in the near term. So, for example, the rising interest rates that we discussed earlier.
Ms. Bulkley, I'm going to try to take you back to a discussion that was that you had with respect to the effect of a particular ROE in a particular jurisdiction. And you recall that generally? You had that with Commissioner Fedorchak?
Yes.
Let me give you a hypothetical situation. or let me ask a question. You had, there was some uncertainty, at least as I heard it, as between you and Commissioner Fedorchak as to how that worked. Was that in the context of trying to parse out what happens to a utility that has returned or that has several jurisdictions as opposed to a single?
I believe the discussion was related to several jurisdictions, yes.
Let's assume for the moment that you had, and how does that relate to the Hope and Bluefield standards? Should a commission look at returns in other jurisdictions and sort of say we can do something different because we're part of a bigger entity?
No, I think as we discussed, we're looking at establishing the return for the company as a freestanding entity. So it would be the North Dakota jurisdiction of NSP, but as a freestanding company on its own.
And why is that an important stance to take?
Because it's important to set a return for this jurisdiction that is comparable with the returns available in similarly situated companies, similar risk factors.
Does that relate to the Hope and Bluefield standard?
Yes, it does.
Explain how.
The Hope and Bluefield standard requires that we provide the opportunity to earn a return that is reasonable to attract capital, on reasonable terms, that is comparable to other similarly situated companies.
And that determination should be made jurisdiction by jurisdiction?
That determination should be made for each company in a jurisdiction on a freestanding basis, yes.
Let's assume you had a freestanding utility, or that is to say a utility that had operations in only one jurisdiction, and that utility was awarded a 9.25% ROE or a 9.00% ROE. Well, how would investors react to an investment opportunity in that for that particular utility?
That return, we've actually discussed a few of those in rebuttal testimony where the commission's regulatory rankings had been downgraded. So they would react unfavorably to that.
I'll move along to the next one. You had some discussion about the effect of a local economy on an investor's interest in making an investment. That was with, I believe, Commissioner Christman.
Yes.
Can you amplify that discussion a little bit? What are the elements of risk that pertain to a utility operation?
There is business risk and there's economic risk. So,
describe those two for me a little bit, please.
Business risks such as the company's capital investment program, that might be one form of business risk that we could talk about. There are a whole host of business risks, but that's probably the most tangible in this case. Economic risk would be the local economic conditions and the ability of the company to grow its system or maintain sales in that area.
Does a utility's regulatory environment affect its business risk?
Yes, it does.
Explain how that works.
It affects the company's ability to, it can affect the company's ability to attract capital. That pertains to the discussion I had earlier on the Moody's, how Moody's rates companies. Moody's takes a fairly heavy weighting on regulatory risk into consideration when they actually assign their credit ratings to companies. So to the extent that a jurisdiction was had significant regulatory risk, that would be factored into a rating and could result in a lower rating.
And would an investor take into account both underlying economic strength and the regulatory environment of a utility in making an investment decision?
Yes.
How would they do that?
They would consider all of those factors. Specific weightings, I can't offer a specific weighting, but all of those factors would be considered.
Thank you. I have no further questions. May I make a comment?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, that was not intended to be a rebuff of your earlier request for a different witness. We may or may not be able to provide a different witness. Accordingly, I attempted to take Ms. Bulkley through the line of questioning that I thought you were trying to get at.
Commissioner,
yeah,
did you have
fine.
A comment?
Nope, that's fine. Thank you.
It may be the best we can do.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Norrell, any recross?
Actually, yes, just one question. I noticed on Schedule 2, page 1 of 2 of your rebuttal testimony, and this was the flotation cost adjustment.
Just bear with me while I get there.
No problem.
I'm there.
It appears the last time shares were offered was August of 2010. Is there any plans in the future to offer more shares that you're aware of?
I'm not necessarily aware of any plans for additional shares. Flotation costs are actually, the intention of the flotation cost adjustment is to recover the costs associated with past equity issuances that remain on the company's in the company's capital stock.
Okay, thank you. No
sure.
further questions.
All right, thank you, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle.
Yes, I have one. When you were discussing the regulatory environment with me and with Commissioner Calk, and you were talking about comparability and that many states have advanced prudence processes now, and you mentioned trackers, which I had kind of neglected to mention, but I agree with you that trackers should tend to reduce risk. It seemed to me that you were supporting the theory that perhaps even comparable companies, that those returns are too high, given the fact that the traditional regulatory risk is no longer existent by these mechanisms that North Dakota and many other states are implementing. So maybe the concept that ROE has simply been too high for everybody, has some merit based on what you were saying about comparability and the reduction of risk with these mechanisms.
Well, I think we should clarify that. That's not at all what I intended to say. So my intention in having that discussion was to demonstrate that these types of mechanisms are actually in place in many other companies, many of the proxy companies that we've used in our analysis. And so, in fact, that benefit associated with those types of programs have already been reflected in any of the analysis that we've done. So I think that's already been included.
I understood that to be your answer, but my question is then perhaps do you not also agree that that has reduced regulatory risk nationwide, wherever those are available, tracking mechanisms and advanced prudence type decisions?
I think they have reduced some risk,
thank
but
you.
I do think it's embedded in the analysis already.
Thank you.
That's all. Thank you. Back to the commission. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
One question I forgot to ask you earlier. So a higher ROE will result in higher costs for the ratepayers and consumers, business, and individuals. And with the number of rate cases that are occurring in North Dakota and throughout the country to pay for the increased improvements to the fleet and also all the new environmental regulations, customers are seeing, you know, higher, paying more, and so energy costs are just higher and growing. How does that weigh on investors, the impact of higher energy costs as a whole, and on the economy and on their investments? And in relation to like an ROE, which if we had it a little lower would minimize that impact a bit. I know it's kind of a broader question, but you know, that's kind of the domino effect of raising rates is how it impacts the economy, and I would assume that investors care about that too.
Right, I do believe that there is some balancing there. And I think that's why it's important for it to be a comparable return across, consistent with other types of investments. And I do think there is sort of the short-term, long-term that we discussed earlier. The short-term gains might lower rates, you know, for customers in the short term. In the long term, I think the costs increase. So having a company that's financially sound and can attract capital on a reasonable basis provides sort of that the best opportunity for customers as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Other questions, Commissioner?
No.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk?
Travel safe.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Chrisman?
Ms. Bulkley, I do not understand what we're talking about with an undisclosed settlement. If a higher ROE is going to attract more capital and a lower ROE is going to attract less capital, what does an undisclosed one do? I thought that's like just a fundamental thing that people need to know.
Settlements do occur that the specific trade-offs that were made in settlement negotiations are not made public. That's a pretty that does happen in many jurisdictions. It's not an uncommon thing.
Don't people find out when they get their dividends what the return was?
No, because that's not necessarily the dividend is a management decision that's made, right? So that's not necessarily related to the dividend.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
No further questions.
I guess I would like some clarification. Are you saying the bottom line ROE is not disclosed? The final bottom line ROE?
Yes, that's correct. In black box settlements, often none of the factors are disclosed. The specific line items that are discussed and the determination that's made on the individual line items, it's a total number.
Thank you. Any further questions from Mr. Johnson?
One follow-up question, please.
Okay.
In the context of a black box settlement, Ms. Bulkley, is the total rate increase disclosed?
Typically, yes.
So the components aren't, but the total is?
Yes.
And when a company reports to its individual jurisdictions, it reports its actual returns, but not an authorized?
That's correct.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. That actually was my question. You worded it better, I guess. Thank you. Mr. Norell, anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No.
Commissioners, anybody? I'm seeing heads saying no. All right. Thank you. At this time, Ms. Bulkley, you are excused.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, I believe you indicated Carrie Valley would be examining the next witness, who is Steve, is it Wishart?
Wishart.
All right.
It's a big binder.
Your Honor, if I may.
Mr. Norell.
During the break, Ms. Cardwell had to step out to attend to a matter. Could we please have a couple minutes just to make a few additional more copies of a couple proposed exhibits for this witness?
Sure, we'll just take a couple of minutes.
I apologize.
And in the meantime, Ms. Paulson, you can be passing out the witness statements.
Oh, really?
Because the iPad is screwy. So.